Do you mean a rose? Yes, that's the one, replied the man. He then turns toward the kitchen and yells, Rose, what's the name of that restaurant we went to last night? I'm heading there fast, y'all. A couple in their 90s are both having problems remembering things. During a checkup, the doctor tells them that they are physically okay, but they might want to start writing down things down to help them remember. Later that night, while watching TV, the old man gets up from his chair. Want anything while I'm in the kitchen, he asks. Will you get me a bowl of ice cream? Sure. Don't you think you should write it down so you can remember it, she asks. No, I can remember it. Well, I'd like some strawberries on top, too. Maybe you should write it down so as not to forget it. He says, I can remember that. You want a bowl of ice cream with strawberries. I'd also like some whipped cream. I'm certain you'll forget that. Write it down, she asks. Irritated, he says, I don't need to write it down. I can remember it. Ice cream with strawberries and whipped cream. I got it, for goodness sakes. Then he toddles into the kitchen in about 20 minutes. The old man returns from the kitchen and hands his wife a plate of bacon and eggs. She stares at the plate for a moment. Where's my toast? So anyway, it's not always fun getting older. I want to talk tonight a little while about overcoming circumstances in your life. Overcoming circumstances. I got this from one of my reference books at home. You might think that slavery, poverty, and racial hatred may be too much for anyone to overcome. They weren't for a person named Richard Allen. Richard Allen was born a slave in Philadelphia in 1760. As a young man, he was saved in a Methodist camp meeting. He then began to testify and preach to other slaves. Unable to attend school, Allen memorized hymns as he sang them, then studied the written words in a songbook in order to learn how to read. Allen's testimony led to the salvation of his master. In gratitude, his master allowed him to buy his freedom. The young Richard Allen would chop wood and sell it to earn money. In just 2 years, Richard Allen had bought his freedom at the age of 17. This was in 1777. Freedom was not a life of ease. Allen had no skills to fall upon to get a job. He wanted to preach, but Methodists would not ordain blacks at that time. Allen decided to do what he could in the daytime. He would haul salt, he would chop wood, sell it, lay bricks, and then he would preach at night. He ministered all over Pennsylvania, winning whites and blacks to Jesus. Then in 1786, Allen received an opportunity to work in a Methodist church in Philadelphia. He had a great success working with the black population in the city. Even though he was very successful at that church, he faced prejudice and opposition, like you could imagine. He and the black members had to leave the white church. Richard Allen then decided to form an all-black church. He succeeded in establishing the first black Methodist denomination. In the United States, when he died in 1831, this former slave was mourned by thousands. Because of his faithful service to Jesus Christ, Richard Allen is remembered today because he would not be defeated by circumstances. And Scripture has its own trophies of grace also. As you might figure, we're going to look at one tonight. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11. We're going to read about a judge that served for 6 years in Israel's history named Jephthah. First of all, I want you to notice that Jephthah was a man of valor. verse 1 through 3, it says, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was a son of a harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in your father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him." See, in the beginning that he had something he had to overcome in his wife, in his life. His dad had had an affair with a prostitute, and he was the result. And then later on, his dad married and had his own natural children to his marriage. And his half-brothers then cast him out of his father's house because they says that he wasn't worthy to receive the inheritance because his mother had been a prostitute. So he lost his inheritance, and in the process, he lost his home, he lost his family, and any money that he might have had coming to him at some time. So how did Jephthah react? You know, a lot of people would cry themselves to death or just, you know, go hide in a hole or something like that. But that's not how he reacted. He could have drowned in self-pity, but he was a man of character. He made the very best of a very bad situation. He left and settled in a town called Tob, and he developed and trained a formidable fighting unit while there in Tob. Lo and behold, it come around that Jephthah's help was needed by his former families. If you'll look in verse number 4 through 11, it says that it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, "Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon." And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, "Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you coming to me now when you are in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, "Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, "If you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and if the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head?" And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, "The Lord be witness between us, if we do not according to thy words." Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. So, he was called on to help by his homeland. And the children of Ammon had made war against Israel. The elders therefore turned. I guess he probably had a reputation down in Tob. The elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah, and they wanted him to be the leaders against the Amorites as they got into battle. And how did Jephthah feel? Well, like most people would feel, they felt a little rejected. I mean, here you kicked me out of the country before, or kicked me out of my father's house. I wasn't good enough for you because of who my mother was. And yet now, when you're in trouble, you need me. Did you not hate me? Did you not cast me out of Gilead? These are some of the exact quotes. You come to me now where you are in distress. The elders of Gilead offered Jephthah a place of honor and respect. And that being, if Jephthah would lead them against the Amorites, they would make him their leader. And they swore to this. So Jephthah decided to accept the position, to accept the job. And now we see the rest of the story. How the Amorites are conquered. In verse number 12, we'll read a few verses here. Because first of all, Jephthah tried diplomacy. And Jephthah went and sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, "What hast thou to do with me that thou art come against me to fight in my land?" I was reading there in verse number 12. 13, "And the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt. from Ammon even to Jabbok, from Arnon even to Jabbok, and to Jordan. Now therefore restore these lands again peaceably. And Jephthah sent messengers again unto the king of the children of Ammon, and said unto them, Thus saith Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea, and came to Kadesh. Then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, Let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto. And in like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent, and Israel abode in Kadesh. Then they went along through the wilderness and compassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab, and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab. For Arnon was the border of Moab. And the Israel sent messengers unto the Sihon king of the Amorites and the king of Heshbon, and Israel said unto them, Let us pass, we pray thee, through thy land into thy place. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast. But Sihon gathered all his people together and pitched in Jahaz and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they smote them. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. And it possessed all the coast of the Amorites from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and from the wilderness even unto Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel hath dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. And shouldest thou possess it? Will not thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out before us, then will we possess. And now art thou anything better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel, or did he ever fight against them? While Israel dwelt in Heshbon and the towns, and in Oror and in her towns, and all the cities to be along the coast of Arnon, 300 years, why therefore did you not recover them within that time? Wherefore I have not sinned against thee, nor but thou dost me wrong to war against me. The Lord, the judge, be the judge this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Howbeit, the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent him. The story of diplomacy. The Amorites said they were mad because Israel had taken their land away from them. Well, Jephthah gave them a little history lesson. He explained to them, No, that didn't happen. God removed you from that land. We didn't force you from the land. And why it was available there for a 300-year period of time and you didn't do anything to take it back. Why not? By the way, y'all noticed all the hard words, the Hebrew words, names. If I mispronounce them, call them whatever you want to, okay? But anyway, the Amorites were, he tried diplomacy first, but after the diplomacy had failed, Jephthah went to war. Verse number 32, So Jephthah passed over into the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he smote them from Aroer, even till they come to Minnah, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. Victory belonged to Jephthah and Israel. And as a result of this victory over the Ammonites, Jephthah was able to rule the Israelite nation for 6 years as its next judge. You know, we all have circumstances in our life we have to overcome. It might be a physical handicap. It might be a mental handicap. It could be where we were raised, our environment. There's many things that are thrown against us in life as we go about our duties, but go about living our life. But we are all called to some form of service in God's army. He wants us all to do something, whatever that might be. So if you've never surrendered to do what you feel like God's called you to do on this earthly ministry, in the church, in God's army, then What's holding you back from doing God's will? We have circumstances we might have to overcome. I don't even remember the guy's name now, but there was a gentleman that he has suffered from cerebral palsy, and he was a fantastic preacher. He couldn't hardly talk in just normal talking conversation. But when he'd got up to preach, the Holy Spirit would take over, and he'd deliver the sermon from God as clearly as everybody could understand what he was saying. So when God will take, if you offer yourself as a vessel to be used to God, God will take it, and he will use it, whatever that ability is. And I want to be sure and stress that point. We're not talking about just teaching or preaching or singing. We're talking about any service to God. Whoever works on a vehicle for the church, whoever, you know, does some yard work, whoever does some cleanup work, whatever the case might be, these are all ministries to God. If we were only say to God, "Here am I, use me to do your work," then God will overcome the circumstances in your life that might otherwise hinder you. So that is how we overcome circumstances in our life. Any questions or comments, or you want to hear more jokes? No. I appreciate y'all. I always try to keep a sermon. Unfortunately, I didn't have it with me. I had to go back home and get it tonight. But I look forward to seeing all of you that possibly can Wednesday night for God and Country. We're doing it in the posse room, and I feel like I can handle up to probably 22 or 24 in that classroom just sitting. If we end up with more than that, we'll move to the fellowship hall. That's okay. We don't mind that. So plan on being here if you can for that. I look forward to it myself. It comes highly recommended to me. Even though I personally have not seen it yet, but I'll be enjoying it right along with you. Again, like Brother David say, any needs during the week, feel free to give us a call. And I'll look forward to seeing the kids and the parents on 11 o'clock Saturday for our Easter egg hunt. So let's be dismissed in order.